All right, it's 2:30, and I'm not going to keep you long, but I'm going to go back to the book of Ezekiel, amen, because it's bringing me life, amen. And the word of God, all scripture is inspired, amen, by God, and is profitable for reproof and correction, for instruction in the ways of righteousness. Paul told Timothy. And so we're in the prophet. The title of the message is The Time of Love. The Time of Love, taken from Ezekiel 16 and verse 8. And what I would like for us to see today and every day of our lives is how God is first in all things. How he's first in all things, and in particular, when it comes to redeeming souls, he's first. Amen. He's first. Before you and I woke up this morning, he was up. Amen. I said before you and I woke up, he was up. Why? Because he never sleeps. He never slumbers. The word of God tells us. But he goes before us, and this is why we don't fear the future. This is why we don't have anxiety. This is why we don't worry and bite our fingernails to the quick and have no. This is why we have peace as believers, because God has gone before us. Amen. Colossians 1:17 says he is before all things. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. You know what? Based upon that scripture, this is what I pray when I'm at work before I go out in my day. Lord, you know every customer I'm about to meet. You know every home I'm about to walk into. You know every relationship that I'm about to establish. Father, and I thank you that you go before me and you are standing there now. When we have a doctor's appointment, for us, it's 2 weeks out in time. For God, he's standing in your doctor's appointment today. And that's why he can say to you, don't fear. Do not be anxious. Just come on and walk, because where you're headed, I'm already standing. Don't worry about it. I mean, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Why did he say that? I believe Jesus said it probably because he's standing in your tomorrow. He's standing in my future. Therefore, I don't have to worry. I told somebody this past week, don't you worry about anything, because God's standing in your past. He's currently standing in your present, and he's standing in your future right now. And if we could get our eyes fixed on Jesus and understand that he is literally not bound by time. He's standing in your future right now. He's standing in our children's future right now. And so we can trust him with it all. Jeremiah, he told Jeremiah in 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before time had anything to do with it, Jeremiah, I knew you. Why? Because I'm before all things. He says, before you were born. Before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. You know, God help us. Do you know who we're dealing with? Has it hit us who we're dealing with? Listen, when God speaks, that is the most powerful, most wonderful, should be most cherished thing in our experience, in our lives. When God speaks, because when God speaks, he creates things with his words. When God speaks, his perspective is altogether different than ours. And so imagine him telling Jeremiah that I knew you and I called you before you were even born. Oh, yes. How would you say, does that work? Oh, that's up to God. And Isaiah 65:24, the Lord said, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Before they call. Amen. Hey, does anyone have an example of that? I'm glad you asked. Yes, I have multiple examples. All through my life, I've been experienced. I've told you before that I've been in, I don't know how many homes I've been in. And I'm cleaning down in the basement and I'm sweating. But I'm just minding my business and cleaning, and the thought just ran across my head. It sure would be nice to have something to drink. And I'm cleaning, and next thing I know, the woman, I mean, as the thought is running across my mind, the woman says, "I thought you'd like something to drink." I said, "Oh God, Lord, I know who that was. I know you did it. I know you heard me before." I didn't even verbalize it. I didn't even say anything. And it happened. I said, "My God." And I can't tell you how many times. One time, the business that I owned, before I owned it, me and the owner were downstairs cleaning, and we were slaving over upholstery, and the thought ran across my mind. And the woman came downstairs and said, "I thought you'd like something to drink." Turned around and walked away and didn't bring him a thing. He looked at me and said, "What's that all about?" I said, "It's none of my business. She brought it. All I'm saying is..." Hey, look here. I know what it is to have him answer before you call. But he said he would do it. And while they're still speaking, I will hear. Listen. Amen. I'm trying to get to Ezekiel 16, but I thought I'd just visit here because somebody needs to know that where you are going, he's already standing. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about your future. Don't worry about your child's future. God is standing in our future, telling us to come, like he told Peter. Peter said, "If it's you, Lord, bid me come." And Jesus said, "Come on." And because he spoke, Peter could walk on the water. And so he's standing in our future telling us, don't be afraid, don't be fearful. And suddenly this life is not all about us. See, when God's standing in your future, you understand this life is not about, it's not about me. No, it's not about me. It's all about you. It's all about you. Because you reign over my yesterdays, my todays, and my tomorrows. You are Lord over it all. And so I look to you. This is all about you. To live for your glory. To declare your praise. To walk in the victory and the triumph that you have accomplished for me in Christ. By the Spirit of the living God. In 2 Timothy 1:9, the Bible says, "God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." God determined that his grace would come to you in Christ Jesus before time began. God chose me before time began. So he chose you, Melanie. He chose Loretta. And that being the case, here's my question. Then what on earth is it in time that I'm worried about if he chose me before time began? Hey! Woo! I'm preaching myself happy. Let me tell you something. Let me say it again in case you missed it. He called you and he chose you before time began. And if that's the case, and it is, what on earth in time are we worried about? What is it that could concern us if he called us before time began? Listen, God called us, chose us, and finished it before time began. But listen, we're just living it out. But we know how the book ends. We know how he wraps this whole thing up. He was just wrapped up in victory. We win with him. Amen. And so, oh my God, we need to get this. I might just preach this and end, save the sermon till next week, because I'm just getting started on before. He's gone before us, church. Hello. He's gone before us. And in my mind, I'm trying as I'm living this out, as I'm walking this out. Oh, yes. Yes. And so Friday, I was on my way. Now, when I'm preaching to you, I'm not preaching to you some theoretical, you know, mumbo jumbo that's way up in the sky. I'm preaching and teaching the word of God. And by the way, I've experienced this word. I've experienced this word. He goes before us. So let me share this. So many of you know this. So I've shared 1989. I started working at the company that I now own, and which was March of 1989. Not too long after that, I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw hoses running out of my basement, at my mother's house, which was in Vienna at the time. I saw hoses running out of my basement. Now remember, I just started working for this business. It's a carpet cleaning business, and it has a lot of hoses. So I saw these hoses running out of my basement. And when I woke up, when God gives me a prophetic dream, he always gives me the interpretation. Always. You know, I don't get a prophetic dream if without interpretation. So when I woke up, the interpretation was, one day, you will own a ChemDry business. That was the interpretation. It came clear as day. Boom. The next month, in April of 1989, we went to a prophetic conference in upstate New York. Three prophets were there. Bishop Bernard Jordan. Some of you may know him. He's on YouTube and all that. And Bishop Bernard Jordan, Apostle David Ireland. I remember them. And this Pastor Richard Anderson. And the one apostle, as I'm up, they called me up and had me sit in a chair. And this is what the apostle prophesied. He said, the call of God is strong upon your life. You know that. Then he said this. But the call in the business realm is equally as strong. Equally as strong. Now, he didn't know that I had had a dream about 2 weeks before where God had spoke and said, you're going to own a business. Hello. And so all these years have gone by. And last year, God said, or this year, God said, move your business into your home. Or at least that's what he, because of COVID and all. And now I literally have hoses running out of my garage. Literally. Literally. So it was a dual prophetic, fulfillment. The one was you're going to own it. And then the second was I saw hoses running out. And I literally watch hoses running out of my garage right now. Now, listen, God knew that before I ever became a carpet cleaner. He knew that before 20 some years. It's been 30 years now I've been doing this. And God spoke that before I ever, because when I got into carpet cleaning, I said, I'm going to do this for a year. Who wants to do this? I'm going to do this for a year and then I'm gone. That's what I thought in my mind. But God had a different purpose. Amen. God had a different purpose. What am I trying to say? This is what I'm trying to say. God, our Lord and Savior, has gone before us. In every dimension of my life and your life, in every dimension, not with just work, with spouse, with children. Listen, what are you worried about? Oh, I don't know if I'm going to get married. Don't worry about it. Let me tell you, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Why? Because God has gone before you. He's gone before you and he's mapped out your steps. The steps of a good man or woman are ordered of the Lord. Amen. Listen at this. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. God promised eternal life to us. How did he do it? In Christ. He promised it in and through Christ before time began. Eternal life that he determined would be ours, he promised to us in Christ before time began. And you say, some people, and I've had people run up to me today, over the years and say, Pastor, I think I've lost my salvation. I'm like, no, not if God saved you. No. If God saved you, he did it before time began. Hello. Even Judas was the son of perdition. He was ordained to end up where he ended up. Hello. Before time began, you know. But no, if God saved you, he's going to keep you saved. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his presence with unspeakable joy. What's that? Jude 24, I believe it is. Unto him who is able to keep you from falling. He who saves is he who keeps. Amen. He's gone before us. So what we're about to deal with, there's nothing that we're about to deal with that he hasn't already dealt with. Amen. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Because he is the beginning and the end. He is our Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. He's the great initiator. You see, he's the great initiator in salvation, but he's the great initiator in leading us in our lives. Because listen, the psalmist said, there is not a thought in my mind, but that you know it altogether. And so he knows the struggles and he knows the concerns and he knows the worries and he knows the fears. This poor man, where did David say that God delivered me from all my fears? Yeah. He said that God delivered the poor man, talking about himself, from all his fears. He knows what it is we're wrestling with, and he's the great initiator, and he has already gone before us. In all of our concerns and all of our challenges, and this is why we can trust him. Amen. And so as I live this life and as I walk this life and as I come to an obstacle, I don't know how many times now over the past few years I've heard the Holy Spirit say this: do you trust me? Do you trust me? Jesus said to Peter when he began to sink, wherefore didst you doubt? He said, why did you doubt me, Peter? I told you to come. I told you to come and you can walk on the water. Well, guess what Jesus is saying to you and I today? Come. I'm standing before you. You say, but it looks so bad. He said, come on. Just walk forward. Walk forward and you'll find yourself walking on the water. So he's the great initiator, and if he doesn't come to Israel, Israel couldn't come to God. This is what we find in Ezekiel. I'm not going to preach all this. There's no way I can get it all done now. I'm too stirred up. Amen. But let me back up to verse 6. I'm going to read this again, where he says, and when I passed by you, I saw you struggling in your own blood, and I said to you, in your blood live. Live, live. And when Jesus said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come out, when he called his name, Lazarus, death had to give way to life. Amen. And so he said to you and I, live. And here we are, living by the Spirit. Yes, I said to you in your own blood, live. And I made you thrive like a plant in the field. And you grew and matured and became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed, your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. We covered that last week. And here, what I want us to see is how much God is talking about what he has done. You know, it's interesting. I've said this to you before, and I'm going to say it many more times again, I'm sure. How... over the years, I've had so much teaching. I've listened to so many teachers. And I can go turn on the radio, television right now, and I guarantee you that a preacher or a teacher is going to be on the television telling the saints what they're to do. I've said this before. You're probably going to be sick and tired of me hearing me say this, but I'm going to keep saying it. You know why? Because I talked to somebody recently, and they said to me, you know what? I don't feel like I'm doing enough as a Christian. I said, here we go, Father. I said, Lord Jesus, help us. Hey, and then I went into that whole mode. Listen, Jesus said, my Father works and I work. Amen. Now let's get this right. If the Father works first, and then we work. And if you don't know what the Father has done, there's no way you're going to understand what you called to do. So tell me now what God has done for you. Talk to me. Crickets. I'm like, well, no wonder you feel like you ain't done it. You don't know what God has done for you? Well, let's start in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him, in Christ Jesus, before the world began. And you read through those three chapters and then come back to me and talk to me about what he's done for you. Amen. It's all about what God has done. Listen, we've been too focused on what it is we're doing. You've heard me say it before. You got to read your Bible. You need to pray. You need to fast. You need to go to worship conferences. You need to. And the saints being worn out have services at church 5 days a week. I heard some woman tell me a pastor told her because she wasn't on the 5 a.m. prayer call, told her, get out the church. You're not welcome here anymore. She had to leave the church because she wasn't on the 5 a.m. prayer call. And I'm like, dear God, for real? That's madness. That is madness. No. Were you on the 5 a.m. prayer call before you got saved? No, but did he save you? Hey, is salvation based upon works? No, salvation is not based upon what you can do. Then you, as you continually are a Christian, salvation is not based upon your works. That was settled on Calvary. Christ did it. Christ accomplished it. He's the great initiator. And so we see this in the life of Paul. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, he says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Oh, now look, listen, in Acts chapter 7, when people were stoning Stephen, and they were throwing their garments down at Saul's feet, no one would have said God separated that person from his mother's womb. Now, based upon that, I say to you, mother, I say to you, father, how could you think to yourself, my child is hopeless? There's no way they would have thought the same thing about Saul. He was murdering people. But God said, no, I separated him from his mother's womb. It's just that no one could see it. No one knew it. But God. Hello. And so even those that we look at and we say, boy, that person's so far from God, I don't know. You're exactly right. You don't know. So let's leave it up to God. Let's continue to pray. Because God has ways that are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are not like our thoughts. And the very person we would say, God could never use that person. God say, that's exactly the one. That's exactly the one. My God, that's exactly the one I'm after. That's exactly the one that I've targeted for use. Amen. Ah. He ain't too far gone. He's not too far gone. May look like it, but he ain't too far gone. Ah, yes. We've been praying. We're going to continue to pray. He ain't too far gone. Oh, God. And so the Apostle Paul, he said, God separated me from my mother's womb. What does that tell us? It tells us this, how a person, the walk that a person is walking today, the way they're living today has nothing to do with the bearing of the call of God upon their life. Because God can change a life and turn it upside down in a moment. This is why we can't judge. This is why we must leave it all up to the Lord. Even though Paul did not know God through his pursuit of righteousness, he was zealous. He was zealous for God, thought he was doing God's work, you know, and chasing down these Christians, this little sect, you know, broken off from Judaism, this little sect, crazy people talking about a resurrection. Man who was dead, now he's alive. Come on. Even though Paul did not know God, God had separated him from birth to know God through the call of God. And in Acts chapter 9 in verse 15, God comes to Ananias and he says, I want you to go down a street called Straight and inquire in the house of one Simon for a man by the name of Saul. And I want you to pray for him. And Ananias began to show how much he didn't know, because he thought he knew more than God. He said, oh, God, wait a second now. Wait a second.
Haven't you heard? Don't you know that this man has locked up many of your people? Here, Ananias now going to try and inform God. And but it just shows you how our perspective is. But the Lord, who the Lord is so gracious, he is so kind. Scripture says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings and the children of Israel. The one who was destroying the church. The one who was just angry and mean and murderous, that one, God said, he's a chosen vessel of mine. So you go now. And who do we not know God is sending to those people that we think they cannot be touched? We think, oh, they're too far gone. I'm sure that people thought about the demoniac. The Bible says no one could pass that way. I'm sure many people said, you know what? That man will never get right. He's out there cutting himself with stones, screaming and shirking full of demons. Amen. He's naked, not wearing any clothes. That man will never get right. Jesus shows up. And when he got right, sitting and clothed in his right mind, scared people half to death. People running, don't know what to do. But Jesus took the very one that no one thought. There's no help for him. There's no help. Jesus took that one, turned him around. And one man that Jesus, I believe it was the one demoniac, whereas the one there was two, when Jesus delivered him, he said, come, can I please be with you? Jesus said, no. He said, no, don't come follow me. He said, go home. Go home to your neighbors and your friends and tell them how good the Lord has been to you. Amen. He said, oh my goodness. So God delivered this man. God delivered this man and filled his mouth with a testimony about the goodness of God, about the grace of God, and told him, now go. Amen. Go tell everyone you know. Tell everyone who'll listen. Amen. And God's done the same thing for you and I. He's done the same thing for you and I. And all he says is, I just want you to go and tell everybody, every opportunity you get, tell somebody how good God has been to you. Amen. And I thoroughly believe one of the reasons why I'm still cleaning carpet today is because I go into a house and when the opportunity presents itself, I tell people. Amen. Clean the carpet, wrap up the equipment, break out. You got a Bible. Sit down. Pray with people. Lead people to Jesus. Pray for healing. Pray to cast demons out. Do whatever is necessary to show them how good God is. Amen. How good God is. And so, amen. Now, I wanted to share a few scriptures. I'm just getting down to my text. Amen. Yeah, the sermon will begin next week. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our Father. We thank you. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your love. We thank you, oh God, that with every one of your children, Lord, not only are you here with us, you promised never to leave us nor forsake us. But not only are you here now, but Lord, you're standing in our future. Lord, you're not bound by time. You're not bound by space. You're not constrained by any limitations, oh God. We thank you, oh God, therefore, that we can put all of our hope, all of our trust in you, oh God. And that is my prayer, Lord, that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear, that even as Stephen was being stoned, he lifted up his eyes and he saw heaven open and the Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Father, may our perception as we walk this life, Lord, may we see as you see. Lord, may we discern as you discern in certain instances, oh God, and may we know in every circumstance and in every situation, oh God, that you are Lord, that you rule, and that you reign. Father, we thank you that you rule and reign over the nations of the earth, over the coronavirus, over every hurricane, oh God, and over all climate change, over all of it. You sit as king over the flood, the psalm says. You sit as king over the earth, and all things are under your feet. All things are subject to you. And we glorify you. We magnify you as King of kings and Lord of all lords. And we pray, O God, that you would have your way in our midst, oh God, in our homes, Lord, in our communities, Lord, in our regions, our state, in this nation, in the nations of the earth, to the glory of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask it, and in his name we pray. And all God's people said amen. Amen, amen, amen and amen. God bless you real good.